Welcome back to Witches DNA 101. I am talking to you guys about ritual, and it's like a hodgepodge episode. I'm talking about grounding, other things that I like when I'm grounding, and what I like about it, and what I get out of it, and protecting and then we'll just see where we go from there. So I have been incognito for a while. I did not mean to. I have had Wi-Fi issues throughout Mercury retrograde. And I listen to a podcast called Bad Witch. And she's hilarious because I am a bad witch. So during Mercury retrograde, my Wi-Fi was really acting up. I did not do any of the classic, you know, have the certain crystals and stuff to help me through. I just complained the whole way through. So I was not on podcasts. I was not on my Facebook pages. And I was not working away diligently at my YouTube and my Instagram and my website. So, as you can see, now that I'm back with my podcast, this is my first appearance back after the retrograde, after the Mercury retrograde, because we still got a lot of other planets retrograde. I decided to talk to you guys. I'm going to start off with grounding and protecting and what I love about it. Now, one of my other podcasts, I forget which one, but I spoke to you guys about how I love, I am in love with the moon, and the moon is in love with me, but I love the sun, because the sun, I mean, it charges me. I can feel the universe fill me with so much in the sun. So when I'm grounding, I like to be barefoot. And modern term would be earthing. But I like to be barefoot. And I can be on my patio, which is concrete, or I can be on a patch of dirt. If it's the weather is not permitting me to, then I love potted plants and the fresh earth in there, and I can just put my hand in there, or take some dirt and put it in my hand and just hold it. Because even that little bit is connecting with the universe, because even that little bit is the universe. So as you can tell, I'm a very natural witch. So when I'm grounding, even when I'm standing, grounding through my feet are like the epicenter of everything. My feet are the point which the universe enters me and I enter the universe. I can feel everything. It's like I can feel the heartbeat, the universe's blood, if you will, just coursing through its earthiness. And I feel that life through my feet. I feel the life of the universe through my feet. Oh my God. And yes, it's very intense. And that is what I get when I'm in the sun. And the sun is shining on me, and I'm chanting, or I'm just relaxing with a cup of tea. And my favorite is chamomile because it relaxes me so much, and I love the flavor of it. And I love just being out there in it and just charging, not even drinking anything, but just, I mean, drinking is a form of grounding also. Drinking and eating, especially earthy, like tubers that come from the earth, like potatoes and stuff like that. But even off of trees, apples and oranges and stuff, it's just vegetables and fruits and really being grounded in that way. And I'm not saying anything against people who eat meat, but it's just for me. I'm speaking here in a very natural way. Eating meat is not a form of grounding. It's a form of harm when you're grounding. So when you're eating, you should be, I eat vegetables and fruits, nuts, berries, stuff like that. Grains that aren't wheat because I have to be gluten free. I have celiac disease and that prevents me from eating wheat, or wheat products, rye and barley products. That's a little complicated. And yeah, it just gets so very intense that I can feel the universe. I can feel Father Sky. I can feel Mother Earth. I can feel them in me and just feeling me all the way up, like it's overwhelming, all the way up with it, with their love and their joy and their peace. And when I say spiritual protection around me grows, I can feel it. I can feel it right now, and it gives me goosebumps because it's so amazing, so intense, so real. And so, yes, that's why I love grounding. I ground and protect every day, every morning, whenever I feel the need to, whenever I, because I'm clear, I have all my clairs. So whenever I hear that I need to ground or get the feeling that I need to ground, and if I'm not outside, I'll grab my seashell. And my seashell is amazing. And I hope to God and Mother Earth, and I'm almost certain that this seashell was acquired without harm, but the energy I get from it is so intense that, yeah, I believe deeply that it was acquired without harm. Protecting. So when I'm grounding, I protect as well. I ask divine energies, and I also say hello, to my ancestors, and to my ancestors. Now, growing up, my witchy ancestors, I was told, were not the positive ones. That being said, so I refrained from even attempting to contact my ancestors because I was afraid of who was going to try to come through. But I now know that that is somewhat ridiculous because the universe is not going to let anything harm me. Father Sky, Mother Earth, divine energies are not going to let anything harm me. So I am positive, and I am a hereditary witch, and I do make mention of this a lot, and this is the scope of this podcast, but you don't have to be a hereditary witch in order to enjoy this podcast. So when you shake my family tree that has the witch's side in it, my grandmother, her family going back, going back, going back, going back, all the way through, back to Ireland and Scandinavia, I would imagine there had to be some positive witches in there somewhere. My granny was a coven witch. My mom, I'm not sure if she was or wasn't. I don't believe she was. That is not my fear anymore. And I feel love. I feel warmth when I say hello to my ancestors and I acknowledge their presence and trees. I've always loved trees. That's going back to my grandmother. She loved trees as well. So I always thought that maybe she was Druid because her coven was extremely secretive. She would tell me, because she absolutely loved going. They'd have potlucks. They had so much fun. But when it came around time to initiations, my grandmother would ask her how her evening went, and she would tell me that they had an initiation or a couple of initiations, but she'd always tell me she can't tell me anything more than that. She can't tell me anything about the initiation. I always tried to find out what exactly they did, but they was very, very hush-hush about that. So it was, in that respect, it was Gardnerian in a way, because Gardnerian witchcraft traditions is very secretive. But I'm not, my grandmother, she really believed in fairies. And so I explained this in the earlier podcast, but as I branched out on my own, I went my own way, and the first thing I ran into was the fairy tradition. So I was trained, I say that I grew up underneath my grandmother, my mom, and my aunties, and I came of age under a shaman who was trained for 20 years by another shaman who was trained for many, many years, and in the fairy tradition, and that taught me everything I know now about nature and earth and being the witch that I am now, independent of my ancestry. Okay, so what else did I say that I was going to talk to you guys about? That was grounding and protecting, and I didn't write it down, darn it. I said I was going to talk about something else. What did I say? There is this, I keep hearing Widdershins. I've been hearing this all day long in my head. Widdershins, 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 Widdershins. It keeps repeating. And Widdershins is a direction, like kitchen witches. They might stir a pot, Widdershins. That's counterclockwise. That's to undo something. That's to release something. I don't know why I keep hearing that, though. But it could also be telling me, because I did a reading for myself today. A tarot reading for myself today, and it told me that some things are coming back to me, and it was a good reading. But what the heck else did I say I was going to talk about? I'm actually drawing a blank. So I am a young grandmother. My first grandchild will be born due date is Halloween. How about that? Somehow. Just in time. Even if it's born a week or two, whatever, earlier, it's still just in time. So, can't think of what else I wanted to talk about. So yeah, well, let's just move on. It might come back to me. So some other things that have been on my mind while I was on break, is that in being a witch, I believe, and I spoke to you guys about witchy ethics or having ethics. Every witch should have a code of ethics that they go by. It doesn't have to be the Wiccan code of ethics, but I go by the Wiccan code of ethics because it's, to me, it's the best code of ethics, and it will give you some serious CYA. CYA is cover your ASS, cover your ass. So, but every witch should have their own code of ethics, and in having that code of ethics and in being a witch, I also believe that there is a not a requirement, but a calling, if you will, or a purpose that just comes ingrained in being a witch. Do all witches have psychic powers? The ones I know do. I do. And in that, even if you don't have psychic powers, but you call yourself a witch, helping people, helping your community, helping society, just comes ingrained in that. Being of purpose, bringing light, bringing positivity. You don't have to be the freaking bell ringer for the Salvation Army, but doing something to better, to help, to do, to not so heavily on erasing the stigma that's attached, the negative stigma that's attached to being a witch or witches, but enforcing the positive in who we are. And showing people that, yes, we contribute to our communities as well. And the universe really does respond to us in kind. Whether you believe in the Wiccan Reed or the Threefold Law, whatever you call it, the Golden Rule, whatever you call it, it's true, the universe will respond to you in kind. So I think that is something that should go in every witch's code of ethics, is that you have something that you do that helps to further, that helps your community, that helps someone around you other than yourself, that is selfless. And I know I have other witches that feel strongly in the same way that I'm discussing with you now. So I'm reinforcing what we've discussed. I'm reinforcing what I've heard on other podcasts. I'm reinforcing because there is an echo. There's an echo that I'm hearing. It started with me, and the echo returned to me with other witches that I know, and the echo returned to me in a podcast that I heard. So I'm like, there are people, there are witches that feel deeply in this way. So let me just put this out here in this podcast and let you all know that, yeah, we are a positive presence in our community. We help our community, and it's a selfless thing. And many of us don't even look for anything in return from the universe. So it's just really good to do. Really, really good to do. Revealing your witchy side is something that you decide when it's time. So whatever you're doing, you can do it under your witchy name, or you can do it under your name. It's up to you and your craft. You know, what is it that you want to be identified with, or do you want to just use your name? That's all extremely personal. So things I like to do when I go shopping, like, if I go to the World Market, I like to look for items whenever I go shopping anywhere to decorate my home. Let's focus on that. Decorating my home, or even acquiring personal items, I do like to find ethically sourced items, things that are cruelty-free to the universe, animals and stuff like that. Do I have things that are not cruelty-free? Yes, I actually do. Is that responsible? It's acceptable, but it's, for me, I accept that part of me, but it's not responsible. It's not completely responsible. I'd say I'm halfway responsible. So that's not a negative. That's not a 100% negative. It's not a 100% positive. It just is. What else do I want to talk about? So, yes, I'm getting ready to start flipping over my home because we just went through llamas. I'm not going to attempt again to say the title of the actual holiday that we had on August 1st. August 1st of every year is Llamas. That's for short for, I'm not going to try to, I will butcher that name. I don't want to do that. So that's the first harvest, or the very beginning of harvest. So we got a holiday coming up this month, not this month, but in September, and I forget the name of it. I don't know what I do with my Book of Shadows. Did I put it in? It's not this one. I have a couple Books of Shadows, actually. That's the type of witch I am. I have many. None of them have traveled with me throughout the years. I've had some that I've held on to for a while, and I've always just started writing and started over. And it wasn't hard to do because this is me. This is who I am. So I just started writing. And I removed it from the normal spot that I would normally have it, which is why I don't have it with me right now, of course. And I had a calendar of all of our holidays because as they pass by, and a lot of witches do this, I forget. So, you guys ought to check out that podcast, Bad Witches. It's really funny. She laughs a lot, but it's really funny. It's really good. And it lets you know if you're a bad witch, not a bad witch, not a negative witch, but if you're a lazy witch, then that's not entirely negative. That's actually something that can be celebrated. So, I am a bad witch, and I don't know what the heck I did with my purple book of shadows. And so I was just going to let you guys know that yes, we have another harvest celebration coming up, and that's next month in September. And that's when I'm going to start flipping my house over for the more harvesty type of flipping over, where it looks like fall is really, really coming in. And then after that is Samhain. And some people pronounce Samhain, everybody pronounces these holidays differently. So find what works for you and just do that. And if works for you, means you mention it or you pronounce it differently every time, then that's what works for you. So let's see. What else can I talk about? Well, okay, that just popped in my head. It was a question. It's a question that I often see asked. And I often hear asked. And because I'm rather particular, and like I said, everybody can enjoy this podcast, but this podcast is for hereditary witches. That, in my opinion, makes me rather particular. So when I hear this question, I oftentimes have an answer that's not within group settings or group rules. So the question is, can someone take classes to become a witch? Oh, that to me is a loaded question because there were no classes for me. It was handed to me psychically, spiritually, through my bloodline. Everything was a lesson. Life was a lesson. Every day had something mystical, metaphysical, something about it. And when everybody's into the trying to say this in a way that reflects how I'm truly feeling about it, but does not offend anyone. So when we are in the whole self-love, taking care of yourself, you can do and become anything you want to be. I, in particular, believe there are some limitations to those things. It's like you may love how eagles fly, but you cannot literally become an eagle. that your limitation is human form, being grounded to your plane of existence, even with astral travel and all these other things that you can do, you still cannot literally be an ego. You can emanate one, but you cannot be one. That's a natural limitation. There are natural limitations when it comes to being a witch. You can take classes to be one, but to be a quote-unquote witch, I don't believe there are classes for that. You can learn the rituals, you can learn the traditions, and how to set up an altar, how to do this, how to do that. But to be a witch down the line from ancestors eons ago, I think you have to be called for that. You have to be blessed with that. Because even not everybody in my family got that. Being a hereditary doesn't mean that everybody in your family is one. There might be some out there where everybody in the family is. But most times when it passes down, it doesn't pass down to everyone. So when I got it, I was told by my aunt. And things had already been happening before then. I was like, 14 was I? Something like that. I forget how old I was. 12? Something. But I was a teenager. Preteen or teenager. But that's something that's given, that's blessed to you. But can you become a witch or a practitioner of witchcraft? Yes. Through taking classes? Yes. It's just complicated. It really is complicated. But even witches are practitioners of witchcraft also, because we practice it. Witches practice witchcraft, so we are also practitioners of witchcraft, the same as being witches also. So, I mean, there is a close connection there. So, yes, you can become a practitioner of witchcraft. That's what we are. Heck, that's what everybody is in life, but they just refuse to see it. Everybody engages in the natural, psychic, metaphysical universe every day of their life, but they just refuse to see it, or they call it something else. So everybody really truly is a practitioner of witchcraft, just that we take it, witches and other practitioners take it many steps further. Whew, that was rough. That was tough. That was a hard one. So, as far as identity goes, there are some witches, some practitioners, some practitioners of witchcraft. I'm not even sure how to term it, but that go out, or just in ritual, or in everyday, they're in their full regalia. And that's amazing. When I started out on my own path, I was in my full regalia. So I am thinking about going back to that. Showing the world my identity through how I present myself. I'm pretty excited about it. And the only reason why I stopped was, and I talked about this in an earlier podcast, but the only reason why I stopped was because of the negativity I was receiving because of who I am. And then I just never picked it back up because there was still some negativity floating around. And even when I was like, you know what, F this, I'm good, I've got this. I found myself more into the secular fashion than just, than, you know, religious or ritual or however you want to term it. But now I'm like, you know what? I need to touch base back with where I began, my roots, where I began. And so that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to also give myself a name. And I have some ideas floating around in my head. Like, this popped in my head right now, but I'm going to think about it a little bit, and I can feel myself going to a next level in my spiritual development, my spiritual growth. So yeah, that's that part. And let's see, what else am I going to talk about? So, not every tradition of witchcraft honors deities, honors a masculinity or a femininity, like a god or a goddess. A lot do reference God. They have a lot of Christianity in there. I think that there should definitely be a cohesive religious or tradition tolerance within our witchcraft and our practicing communities, because this path is so very personal to every witch, to every practitioner. If you believe in God, there is absolutely nothing wrong. I believe in Father Sky, Father God. I believe in Mother Earth. I believe that there is a spirit that moves through and around everything. And yes, this has been proven to me. And some who have had different experiences than I do won't see it the way I see it. And so they have their goddesses and their gods or whatever. Wicca honors many different goddesses and it's part of that tradition. And some are choose to stick to what the tradition calls for, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I like it when people stick to a certain or adhere to a certain organized way something is supposed to go, because it gives it structure. But yes, so if you are a Christian witch, if you are a traditional witch, if you are a mix between the two, it's okay. You don't really have to explain that to anybody, actually. You might have to do a little explaining if you join a coven that strictly honors Diana and you don't honor female goddesses or gods at all. You decided that, and that might put you in a sticky situation, so you might have some explaining to do there. But other than that, if you are a solitaire, and that's one of the joys of being a solitaire, you don't have to explain nothing to nobody. You do your own thing, your own way, your own time, and like an eclectic. But even if you're not an eclectic, you can be being by yourself, doing your own thing is a solitary wedge. Even if you follow traditional values, rules, core laws to the letter. Let's see, on to my next topic. Now I'm just picking stuff randomly as I feel spirit is guiding me. Candle colors. So candle colors for the next holiday coming up, like oranges and yellows, maybe some red oranges or orange reds and stuff like that, and maybe infusing them with some fruits and stuff like that if you're really crafty and into making stuff, or semi homemade, kind of like that cooking show that I don't know if it still comes on. I think Food Network, I think it was on with Sandra Lee, semi homemade crafts with candles that you can infuse, ready-made candles that you can infuse with fruits or berries and stuff like that. Essential oils and stuff to bring in the holidays and to set beautiful magical spells of love and fruition and peace in your home and your environment, and just, it's just beautiful. I love it that we as witches put so much beautiful, positive energy out into the universe. I don't think that being reactive all the time to other people is exercising being a witch to the actual reality, the actual reason to even have this blessing. Just being in a reactionary mode all the time because things happen, so you craft a spell to stop this from happening. Oh my God, that's happening. I mean, you're not really, it doesn't seem to me like one would really enjoy having this blessing if they're always using it to counteract something that they feel is happening to them. Don't get me wrong, protecting is amazing. That's wonderful. Everybody should do that all the time. But when that's all you're doing, you're not really enjoying your gift, your blessing. And so, just doing simple things like that, creating stuff to enhance the positivity and the light and the love in your environment. And just relaxing and enjoying that you're putting good energy out there. And that all of us putting all this beautiful, wonderful, good energy out there, not just us witches, but even the Christian community, the secular community, all of us putting all this beautiful energy out there. We need it with all this stuff going on in the news and everything, and we need all the positivity we can get in this world these days. All right, well, I am about done with this podcast. And I think this might be one of my shortest ones, but I'm not sure. I have to see. But thank you all for tuning in. Oh my God. Thank you all for tuning in. And I will be posting something nearly every day. So this will be a very active podcast. All right, you guys, thank you very much. And I will see you next podcast.